ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയ ചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവിനാന്ദ ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ടാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി. ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ്, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ, ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ. നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ. സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ, ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാ. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണ ഏവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ. മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദപ്രഭോ. നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാ ഇതരതസ് അർത്ഥേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാണ് തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ. തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്രവരമോ നർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാ. നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുകമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസം ആലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ. സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാം. യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിദേർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനം ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ. കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കലവേണു കുണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാജി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാവികാവികാവി. നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീ ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമാം പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ പാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികയെ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So what we saw last Sunday was Krishna's talking to Uddhava. Krishna says to Uddhava that in answer to his question, that question was, Vadandi Krishna Shrayamsi Bahuni Brahmavadinam Tesham Vikalpa Pradhanyam Udaho Aigamukhedam. Uddhava asked Krishna that Vadandi Krishna Shrayamsi Bahuni Brahmavadinam. Brahmavadis, or those who have realized souls, they also talk about various goals or objectives and in relationship with Shreyas. That means for our ultimate benefit. So, Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi. Krishna, everybody says different things. They are not ordinary people, they are Brahmavadis. They reach a very high state of self-realizations, in other words. If they have asked this question, that ബ്രഹ്മവാദിനാം തേഷാം വികല്പ പ്രാധാന്യം ഇതാഹോ ഏകമുഖ്യതാം ഇസ് ഇറ്റ് ബിക്കോസ് ഓഫ് വികല്പ പ്രാധാന്യം വികല്പ പ്രാധാന്യം മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് ഇറ്റ് ബേസ്ഡ് ഓൺ ദെയർ മെൻ്റൽ പ്രൊക്ലിവിറ്റീസ് ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് ബേസ്ഡ് ഓൺ ദി തോട്ട്സ് ദേ ഗെറ്റ് ത്രൂ ദെയർ മൈൻഡ് വികല്പം വികല്പം ഇസ് ഇറ്റ് ബേസ്ഡ് ഓൺ ദാറ്റ് ഓർ ഇസ് ദർ സംതിങ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻ്റ് എമംഗ് ദം ഇമംഗ് ദെയർ കൺക്ലൂഷൻസ് ദാറ്റ് വാസ് ദ ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ഇൻ ആൻസർ ടു ദാറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ സ്പോക്ക് വേരിയസ് തിങ്സ് ഇസ്ൻ്റ് ഇറ്റ് that how, due to the influence of the three modes of material nature, Prakriti Vajitriyal, Krishna said, Vidhyande Matayo Nranam Parambaryana Keshanjil Pakantha Matayo Apare. Then, that due to the influence of the three modes of material nature, Manmaya Mohitadiya Purusha Purusharshabha Shreyo Vadandi Ekandam Yatha Karma Yatha Ruchi. So, Yatha Karma Yatha Ruchi, that is the important thing. That according to their karmam, according to their taste, they will have their karmam on that basis. And all, everyone, Krishna says, are under the influence of Maya, under the modes of nature. Then Krishna said a few things. What is it? First thing, Krishna said, people call different things as objective. Dharmam, then yashas, kamam, satyam, damam, shamam, anye vadandi swartham, and aishwaryam, tyagabhojanam. All these different things what we saw in detail earlier. And then Krishna said one conclusion, Dukho darkas tamo nishta. Dukho darkaha tamo nishtaha. All these things, namely what he is talking about is dharmam yashasa, kamam, satyam, damam, shamam. All of these things, he says, Dukho darkam. Eventually they will bring distress. In other words, it is not the final solution to the problem. That means somebody who is looking for Krishna's point of view is this, that ultimately it should lead to a state from there you don't have to experience distress anymore after that. If distress is coming after all this effort, then Krishna says that that is not the solution to the problem. That's why he said there, Dukho darka tamo nishtaha chudra anandaha shucharpidaham kejil yatnyatabodhanam bradani neyaman yaman adyandavayandaye vesham logaha karma vinirmidaham. That adyandavandam evesham, because of all these different proposals these sages have put forward, Krishna is saying, adyandavandam evesham, they all have a beginning and they all have an end. Why? Logaha karma vinirmidaha. Because all their actions and conclusions and the results that's coming from that is coming from karma. Karma. Krishna pinpointed there itself that karma is not the answer to the problem. Karma is not the solution to the problem. Through karma, no one has acquired self-realization so far in the history. So that is why it is spoken like that. Dukho darkastamo nishta. But at the same time, Krishna has not rejected that there is, he doesn't say that there is no happiness in all these things. Chudra anandaha shucharpidaha. That chudra anandam, a very limited, very meager happiness you will get from all these things, what was spoken in verse 10. Dharmam meshasa kamam satyam damam shamam swartham maishwaryam thyagabhojanam. From all these things, there is a very limited amount of happiness one will get. That's why I say chudranandaha, shucharpidaha, but the end will be distress. End will be distress. Some distress will creep in between and it will upset the whole thing. So that's the important point Krishna is stressing there. Then after that, Krishna says, adyandavandam evesham logaha karma vinirmidaha. Karma has created all these things. Mayarpidalmana sabhyam nirabekshasya sarvadaha my almana sukham yatal kradasyal vishayalmanam. Krishna then he says that mayarpidalmana sabhya, one who has come out completely surrendering to Krishna, nirabekshasya sarvada, without any desire or expectations from Krishna, if mayarpidalmana sabhyam, that one who has taken complete shelter of the self-realization process, mayarpidalmana means surrendering to Krishna, means surrendering to that truth which is present in everybody as the soul, super soul who is present in everyone, or the soul who is present in everyone, accepting that and surrendering to that truth. That is what is surrender means. My arpita almana sabhya nirabekshasya sarvada aham my almana suham yatal kudas kradasyal vishaya almanam. And a person who has taken that shelter, Krishna is saying here, Mayalpana sukham yatal, the happiness what he will receive, kutasyal vishayalpanam, one who is longing after sense enjoyment, he will never get it. How will he get it? That is what Krishna is asking. In other words, one who has come to the path of self-realization, who is advancing in the progressing in the path of spiritual life, the happiness he will receive from the process or in the process of realizing the self, we can never be understood to be the same as one what one receives from the enjoyment of senses. Kutasyal vishayal manam. He says you can't even compare those two things, sense enjoyment and happiness. Happiness from sense enjoyment means, in Jagrat says normally most of us are busy in satisfying our senses, isn't it? Basically, material life means what? Whole day busy with senses. Morning from waking up right up to leaving, going to sleep, the senses are active, isn't it? Five shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. That means sound, touch, form, taste, form and taste and smell. So shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandham. These five senses are busy whole day in some kind of sensual interaction with this in this world. Krishna's point is that kutasyal vishayal manam, one who is absorbed in the sense enjoyment, there is no question of him having that happiness. Then we also saw another thing. Akinjanasya dandasyam shandasya samachedasaha maya sandushta manasaha sarve sukhamaya adishaha. Krishna is saying that akinjanasya dandasyam, one who has come to that state of self-realization where he has no desire anymore He doesn't want anything from this world. Imagine that state. Not looking for any kind of happiness from this world. Akinchanasya andasya. And at the same time, shandasya samachetasaha. That shandasya always in a very peaceful state. Shandi has come to him. Samachetasaha. Always, because he is in the shandi state, he is always peaceful with other living entities as well. Maya sandushtamanasaha. Then, because he is absorbed in the soul, when we say absorbed in the soul, a devotee will say absorbed in Krishna. Jnani will say absorbed in the soul. So that's only the difference is, maya sandushta manasaha sarve sukhamaya adishaha. That for him, there is happiness in all directions. There is no point in life, there is no time in life when he will feel distress any time. So that is why we were, what we have talked about last Sunday. And we've also seen there that this happiness, what Krishna is talking about, is a different kind of happiness. When we are looking for recognition from this world in various ways. So, when one does not require any recognition from this world, any recognition from outside, and that happens when we do not recognize our own existence inside. That means our presence inside, when we do not realize what we are, what our relationship, who we are, that question has never come up in one's mind. Only those personalities who will inquire for, who will look for recognition from the world outside. So where will I get that recognition? Where will I get that certificate? And he runs around. Because we have reached a state where we cannot recognize anymore ourselves. So, in other words, when we say we cannot recognize ourselves means that when we do not have that recognition from Krishna, what is a recognition from Krishna? Recognition from Krishna is this, that when we engage in spiritual life, at some point in time, Krishna gives some signals from inside. That signals must come from inside. From Krishna's side, there are some signals comes. And they are a devotee or a jnani or whoever it is, once he has taken to this process of self-realization, if he is thoughtful and if he is reflective and going inward looking nature has cultivated, he will find that on his own. It's a mysterious thing in spiritual life. It cannot be spoken, it cannot be clearly explained to anybody. But if you ask any devotee who has practiced Krishna consciousness for a long time, or anyone for that matter, who is advancing on the path of spiritual life, there is something from inside, some guidance is coming from inside. And that is what Krishna is saying here. That recognition, Krishna is giving that understanding how to go further. Isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, that is what Krishna is saying also. Isn't it? That any time when a devotee requires that is offered from inside. That is that responsibility Krishna has accepted. Krishna has taken that. And when that is present inside, all other evil qualities like lust, anger, greed, envy and things like that, they disappear also at the same time. Therefore, that is why Krishna says there, Shudranandaha Shujarpidaha. Shudranandaha Shujarpidaha means that the happiness that's coming from the sense gratification is Shudranandam. And Shujarpidaha means, that means the distress that will come back later from that. So we have talked about all that last Sunday. Maya paramananda surubena atmana surubatvena spuradaha. Sridhara Swami says there like this. Maya paramananda surubena atmana surubatvena spuradaha. In other words, that the anandam or happiness that is coming from atma, Atmana Surubatena Spurada. Surubam or the Alma or the soul Spurada. Spurada means it radiates. The happiness that radiates from the soul, that he says here, Maya Paramananda Surubam. That is the supreme happiness that is radiating from the soul. At the moment, all these things remains as a theory for us, isn't it? We keep asking, it never comes to us. But the fact is that Shastram is saying this, Acharyas are saying this, and it is their conclusions that a devotee who has really progress in the path of spiritual life, he will definitely experience that. Which we also talked about in the Ishobanishad, Ishova Purnamidam Purnamidam. That Purnatvam is inside the soul. Is the soul has the completeness itself. Soul has is complete itself. Soul doesn't require anything from outside for happiness. Generally, we acquire happiness, material objects, material life. We work hard or we acquire material objects in this world to become happy. That's the goal, isn't it? Because some misconception in our mind that if we don't receive things from outside, we will not become happy. This is our understanding. And therefore, we have always this forced us. Our karma vasanas were created inside to acquire various things to become happy. But happiness, Krishna is saying here, that the will not come, the soul does not require anything from outside to become happy. In other words, what Krishna is saying is that in order to become advanced in spiritual life, there's nothing in this world you require. Practically, you don't need anything here. 100%. It is only what's required that what is known as mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam means intense desire for liberation from this material life, material existence, or the cycle of birth and death. Automatically, Krishna says, if you look back into all the history of all the great jnanis, devotees, you will see this, that they didn't go out acquiring anything in this world for their self-realization, for their self-realization process. That is why this verse, what Krishna says here, and this verse in the Ishobanishad, they are connected to each other. Purnamadam purnamidam purnal purnamudachyate purnasya purnam adaya purnam evavashishyate. Purnatvam is the characteristic of the soul that we have to always remember. Purnatvam, it is complete. It doesn't require anything from outside. If we accept that, then our endeavor in this world will minimize. It's only due to our attachment to the body and our identification with the body that we have fallen into this avidya. Avidya means this ignorance, that I need something to complete my spiritual life. I need something to fulfill my needs for spiritual life. And this is all misunderstanding. Shastram doesn't say like that. So, therefore, that is why it is said there that Swayam Purnam, it is on its own, the soul, by very nature itself it is complete. And because we do not know that, it is at that time this thing called the mind pops up. When does the mind comes up? Mind comes up when we have no connection with the soul. Those who have no identification with the soul or no identity with the soul, for them the mind will be very, very strong. It will be very active mind they will have. Chittavritti increases at that time. But those who have some realization of the soul, you will find their mind is less active. The mind is less active. This is how it works. So if you want to bring the mind under control, the only possibility is to going back to the realization of the soul or the self-realization. So this the yogis talk about a process. What is that process? Different kinds of yamam, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam. These are the process what the yogis recommend to get the mind under control. Jnanis doesn't say that. Jnani says to us that if you know the soul, then there is no need to control the mind. Mind will disappear. As soon as you realize the self, the mind will disappear. That is the answer from the jnani. So jnanis and the yogis, they're two different ways. Yogi says to us, you follow this process of Ashtanga Yogam. Yamanema, Asanam, Pranayamam, Pratyaharam, Dharana, Dhyanam, Samadhi, all that. So Ashtanga Yogam, Patanjali system is that through these eight processes you can get the control over the mind. And the process from the Jnanis is, even that is not required. They say, if you are searching for the truth and if you accept the realization, self-realization as the goal, and cultivate the knowledge of the soul, spiritual knowledge, with the proper way, as Shastram has spoken about, in such a case, the mind will become a non-entity. The mind will disappear one day. There will be no more mind after that. So, it is in that connection, it is spoken that mind does not exist. Manasam tu kim. So, Actually, they are saying that when you ask that question at that point, you will see there is no such thing called mind inside. Mind inside. So, we have seen that. I spoke about last Sunday about the Alexander's conquering the world. Alexander saw that and he had this strong mind, which was because he was so externally oriented, isn't it? Wanted to conquer the whole world, and in that process he continued his invasion. And at last he meets this Jnani in Benares, who spoke to him that there is no world outside existing. It's all inside, from there where it comes out. And just like we say that any other time and space is actually non-existent. This is a difficult concept for most of the people to accept, isn't it? Time and space is non-existent. As far as we say, okay, time, morning, evening, and all that. This is all in relationship with the sunrise and sunset. It has no other meaning than that. Based on sunrise and sunset, we call morning, evening, and midday, and all that. And similarly, in order to conduct our business in this world, we have adopted certain process of calculating the time and the system we follow to keep some system functioning properly. For that we have adopted this time concept. But once you come to the spiritual platform and you accept the identity of the soul, soul has nothing to do with the time. Soul has nothing to do with the space either. Who is present in everywhere, in all the creation, whole creation. Vishwam Vishnu Vashalkaro, Vishnu, that name is coming from that. What does this Vishnu mean? The word Vishnu means, we all say we are all Vaishnava, Vaishnava we say, isn't it? What does this Vishnu mean? Vishnu means Vyapanashilatvam. Vyapanashilatvam means one who is present everywhere. There is no place where he is not present. That is Vishnu. Vishnu, the word itself is meaning like that. That's why when you start the Vishnu Sahasranam, 1000 names of Vishnu, Vishwam Vishnu Vashalkaro Bhutabhavya Bhavat Prabhu. That is how the 1000 names begins. First addressing Vishnu itself is Vishwam Vishnu Vashalkaro. This whole Vishwam means this whole creation is Vishnu. That's how he is addressed in the beginning itself. So you can see there that the principle or time or the space is not a consideration in spiritual life. Once you come to spiritual life, space is not a consideration. We have space in this world, we calculate space, because that's all in the platform world of senses. In the world of senses, you need all that. Space is required. Because when we are dealing through the senses in this world, we need a space to be calculated, to be allotted to different people, so there is no problem mutually. Because it's on the bodily level, isn't it? On the bodily understanding. Once we leave this body and our realization of the soul becomes stronger, then you will also see the futility of all these space arrangements and what we give too much importance to it, something what doesn't require that. So that's why it said there, that the Ushnam Vishnu Vashalkaro. So it says there that this concept of space and time is only in relationship with the material life. Only in relation with material life. In spiritual life it doesn't exist. So our Alexander didn't have these concepts about time and space. So when he came to see this yogi spoke to him that you live in a different world, I live in a different world. You are thinking about conquering this planet today, and as soon as you got the whole planet, you will be thinking about the next planet which you can conquer. Whereas for me, the whole planet is within me. All the planets are inside me. So two different planes they were discussing, and eventually Alexander understood what he spoke about did make sense to Alexander, and that is how he stopped his invasion further after that and decided to go back, and on the journey back he left his body also. So even a personality like Alexander has come to this point of realization later. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see there that Hiranyakashipu is seeing everything as matter, isn't it? Everything as matter. For him, heavenly planets, material world, and earthly planet, I am the control of the earthly planet, I am the control of the heavenly planets, Indra has been thrown out from there, and I have established my authority everywhere. This is the approach of Hiranyakashipu. And Prahlada is saying to Hiranyakashipu that because of an advanced devotee, Prahlada is, he is only seeing there that except Krishna, I am not seeing anything in this world. Two different levels again. if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there that when Hiranyakashipu was talking to Prahlada, Hiranyakashipu could not understand anything what Prahlada was saying. And Prahlada could not understand anything what Hiranyakashipu was saying. Two different languages, father and the son were talking to each other. Hiranyakashipu says that, where is your Vishnu? He thought that Vishnu is somebody like him, like Hiranyakashipu. So where is he? That's what he was asking. Prahlada is saying, there is nothing else in this creation except Vishnu. Everywhere I look, I only see Vishnu. This is what happened. And at the end, is he in this pillar? He said. What is the doubt about that? I'm only seeing Vishnu there. Stambhe gathayado. That's the point he pulls the sword from his... So he pulls out the sword, and in that process he hit the pillar, and from there Lord Nrisimha appeared. So these things are spoken. This incident between Prahlada and Narasimhamurti is also spoken to tell us just not to think in terms of the story alone, but to get this point across to us that one who has realized a devotee like Prahlada, his vision will be in one level. His realization will be in one level. And a complete materialist who has no spiritual realization like Hiranyakashipu, he will see everything as matter. Everything as matter. These are the important things. So that is why he asked this question. My dear father, Prahlada is saying to Hiranyakashipu, the problem you have is that you have not conquered even your own mind inside. Your own mind inside. And you want to control the whole world. You want to control the whole creation. Kama krodhascha lobhascha dehe tishtandi taskaraha. And jnana ratnavaharaya tasmal jagrada jagrada. Prahlada is saying to Hiranyakashipu that kamam, krodham, anger, lust, greed and all other kinds of dehe tishtandi taskaraha. It will keep you in the body. You will never be able to escape from the body. That's what he is saying here. Jnana ratnavaharaya. Jnanaratnam. There is this soul inside which is full of knowledge, and that thing is stolen by that jewel of knowledge, which is the soul, is stolen away by lust, anger, greed and all other bad thoughts inside. And because of that, tasmad jagrada jagrada, he says, be alert, be conscious all the time, be alert, he says to them. Mada nasti pita nasti nasti bandhu sahodaraha. Artham nasti graham nasti tasmal jagrada jagrada. That mada nasti pita nasti, what we identify ourselves as father, mother, all these are based on the body. Similarly, relatives, brothers, and artham nasti graham nasti, even the so-called opulence of material life and house, everything. Artham nasti graham nasti tasmal jagrada jagrada. Be alert, he says. Prahlada says, be alert about this. It is very easy to slip into this consciousness of the body and the bodily extensions, and similarly attachment to wealth and to material life. So, after saying that, we have also talked about another important thing, that a realized soul who is in the path of, or very advanced in the path of spiritual life, they are always staying in that state. They do not come down from that very easily. And that is their shanti. That is their shanti. As I gave you the example, that when Kanno Maharshi was bringing up Shakuntala, one day Shakuntala was sent to the palace of Dushyanta. Palace of Dushyanta. Shakuntala was pregnant, and two brahmacharis from Kanno Maharshi's ashram took Shakuntala to Dushyanta's palace. When they got there, Dushyanta said, I don't know who Shakuntala is. I never married her. At that time, from the sky, a voice came that Shakuntala is your wife. You married her. Properly, you have married her, and you should accept her as your wife. And it's after that Dushyanta accepted Shakuntala. For a few days, the Brahmachari stayed there in the palace, and they were in a very difficult state. With all the comforts they had, Brahmacharis are talking to each other, and while referring to this, in Shakuntalam it says like this: suppose in them days people didn't bathe at home, isn't it? This bathroom and showers and all are modern things. In the olden days people didn't have all that. People generally bathe in the rivers or tanks, lakes, places like that. That was the place they bathed. If you take a shower, it's not considered to be clean. Scientifically it may be clean, but from the Shastram point of view, snanam, they have talked about it, that bathing in the house inside, which comes through the water piping and all that, is not considered to be clean enough. Anyway, so these brahmacharis are talking to each other, and they are saying, when you go to bathe in the tank, and after bathing, when you are coming back, you feel clean. After going to dip in the water and you have cleaned yourself and you are coming back, you are feeling clean. While coming back, if someone by chance splashes some water on you, by some reason they splashes some water on you, you feel uneasy at that point, isn't it? Oh, I feel unclean. Somebody has thrown that dirty water on me. Who was not clean? Because I'm coming back after bathing. After bathing, you feel clean and pure inside. Similarly, these brahmacharis are saying that now that we have gone to that palace and stayed in Dushyanta's palace, we'll go back and bathe first to clean ourselves. Normally, you go to a palace, you're supposed to be in a very clean place, isn't it? But brahmacharis spoke like this, that they felt that they should bathe immediately to purify themselves from the contamination they had inside. They didn't like it. They just didn't like it in the palace. For them, that simple life in the ashram, in the forest, in Kanumarshi's ashram, and living in a very simple environment, and without any of the opulences what Dushyanta had, that was their sattvikam, that sattugunam in them. Whereas palace is rajogunam, isn't it? Palace is rajogunam. So therefore they concluded that the sattugunam nature, in the Bhagavatam it will come later, vanam tu satyagyo vaso rajasam gramam uchade tamasam dyuta sadanam mannigedam sa nurgunam. There is a verse later, there it says vanam tu satyagyo vasam. If you are living in the forest, you are in sattugunam. Rajasam gramam uchade, that means in the town, cities, or somewhere if you live, like in the palaces and all that, it is rajogunam. Tamasam dyuta sadanam, if you live in places where there is intoxication, gambling, things like that, what goes on? If you are in that place, even if it is in the Mayfair or in any other famous areas, if this is what's going on there, tamasam dyuta sadanam. We mentioned that Mayfair is, or that's a poshest area in London, isn't it? Somewhere like that. That is not sattugunam, that is tamogunam. Whereas somewhere deep in the forest, it is sattugunam. So, rajogunam, sattugunam, tamogunam, three modes of nature are functioning everywhere. Tamasam, dyudasadanam. And then Krishna says, mannigedamstu nirgunam. That modes of nature is not supposed to be present in the temple. Temples where Krishna is present and Krishna is properly worshipped, there is no modes of nature. This is the Ekadasha Skandam says like this. Vanam du satyagyo vasom rajasam gramam uchyate tamasam dyuta sadanam mannigedam stu nirgunam. So after saying that, we saw also that Krishna spoke about important thing. Akinchanasya dandasya shandasya samachetasaha maya sandushta manasa sarve sukhamaya dishaham. A devotee who has akinchanasya dandasya, that is the verse number 13, one who has reached that state, that he has no, is the symptoms of a devotee, Krishna is talking about. Akinchanasya, he has no requirement at all. Dandasya, always controlled. Shandasya, always peaceful. Samachedasaha, always with equal vision towards others. Why? Maya sandushtamanasaha, always the mind is absorbed in Krishna. Sarve, sarva, sukhamayadishaha. Always, he says there that his directions are always, in all directions he is happy. And at that point, I was talking about this story of that realized the soul, how he reacts to situations in this world. That's what we saw in that incident with Janaka and Ashtavakra. Janaka and Ashtavakra. So, those brahmacharis who lived with Ashtavakra, Ashtavakra's ashram had a few brahmacharis. And those brahmacharis were always used to observe King Janaka coming to visit Ashtavakra Maharshi. And Ashtavakra Maharshi used to have long conversations with Janaka in the ashram. So the brahmacharis used to think, why Ashtavakra Maharshi gives, our spiritual master gives so much importance to Janaka? They could not understand that. They used to think, we are just ordinary brahmacharis sitting living in the ashram, such a simple life. This is, after all, at the end, and the end of the day, he is a king. That means he is used to sense gratification. And he lives in the palace, very opulent life. So when he comes, Ashtavakra gives him all respect and receives him well and spends a lot of time with him. And he has no value for us. We have given up everything and come to the ashram and living with Ashtavakra. So why is it like this? This was building up in the disciples' mind. So that is when Ashtavakra decided one day. If you buy Ashtavakra Gita and read it, you will see there. Ashtavakra decided one day that I have to make them understand what realization means. So he decided artificially, when it started raining, the brahmacharis had run away from there. Suddenly the news came from the palace, the whole Mithila Nagar, Mithila town is under fire. It's under fire. It was a fire created by Ashtavakra Maharshi out of his yoga power. Out of yogi power, he has created that deliberately. And when the message came, the brahmacharis have come back reporting that the Mithila Nagari, Mithila city is on fire. And Janaka didn't move. He sat there very peacefully about it. At that time, Ashtavakra Maharshi asked the brahmacharis, why did you run away? They said, we have left our kaubeen to dry outside. It's going to wet. It's going wet, going to get wet. So we wanted to get it out from there. That's why we went. So did you see what? And Janaka is sitting here. He's not running away. His whole palace is on fire, he said. So at that time, brahmacharis understood that self-realization, if it does not bring a jnani, this state of mind inside, all this effort of studying and trying to make progress in spiritual path is all not the goal. The ultimate goal is that this realization to come, that what we have studied in Bhagavad Gita about the soul, what Krishna talks about, the soul in the Bhagavad Gita, if that is not fully realized, like Janaka, King Janaka has realized. King Janaka says, there is no question of fire. Where can fire? Fire can only happen in the matter. It has nothing to do with the soul. Nothing to do with the soul. So when he said that, the brahmacharis paid their respects to Janaka at that time. This incident happened in the Ashtavakra's palace. That is mentioned there. So, and Ashtavakra Maharshi asked the brahmacharis, what have you lost? When the rains came, the brahmachari said, we haven't lost anything. All what has happened is we are concerned about our underwears getting wet. That was the answer. So, those realized state like Janaka, which is on a much higher state, as far as he is concerned, even this world doesn't exist. That's a very higher state of realization. Because everything is temporary here. Everything is temporary here. So catching fire is not considered to be a great concern for him. Because as far as he is concerned, nothing exists outside the soul. Nothing exists outside the soul. He says here, Midhilayam Pradeeptayam Name Kinjil Pranashyadi. Midhilayam Pradeeptayam Name Kinjil Pranashyadi. It is in the Yoga Vasishtam, this statement from Janaka. Janaka says, Mithilayam Pradeeptayam, if the whole Mithila catches fire, Na Kinjil, Dame Kinjil Pranashadi, what is going to happen to me? I'm not going to, anything happen to me. It will not affect me. That is what he's saying here. In other words, you can imagine the state from his, from where he is talking about. Nothing is touching the soul. So sure about that inside. That soul is completely independent from the body, completely independent from the world. It has no connection with anything whatsoever. That state of realization and situated in that platform always. This is Janaka. How did this happen? This also is a question. Sudeva Goswami answers that in the 9th canto. How this family of Janaka or Mithila, how did they get to that state? If you look into the Sri Ramachandra's story in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramachandra's history, if you look there, you will see there that that in two chapters, whole of Ramayanam story was spoken by Sudeva Goswami, isn't it? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, whole story of Ramayanam was summarized by Sudeva Goswami in two chapters. After summarizing and explaining about Ramchandra's position and also about the kings of Mithila, Janaka family, he concludes that one thing, Edevai Mithila Rajan Alpavidya Visharadaha Yogeshwara Prasadena Dvandvair Muktua Graheshwabim. This is a special comment from Sukadeva Goswami, is evaluating the parambara of Ramachandra, means the solar dynasty. While discussing about the solar dynasty, he says here that this particular family, that means Sita Devi's family, who have actually, because the connection with Sita Devi and Ramachandra, Ayodhya, Ramachandra came, Sita Devi came from Mithila. Edevai Maithila Rajan, though all those kings who were born there and who took over the control of the kingdom in Mithila, Atma Vidya Visharadaha, they were all highly realized soul. They will be always highly realized, self-realized soul. They will be, he says. Sudeva Goswami says there. Edevai Maithila Rajan, Alpa Vidya Visharadaha. Why? Yogeshwara Prasadena Dundvair Muktva Graheshwabi. That they will all be very, very great jnanis and yogis, all of them, by mercy of Yogeshwara, Ramachandra. Ramachandra's mercy, they all of them will be very highly realized souls. But interesting thing is, Dvandva Air Muktva Graheshwabi, they will always be householders. See? Being a householder and in the self-realized state all the time. This is that beauty of this Sita Devi's family. Sita Devi took birth there, isn't it? In that family of Mithila, of that dynasty, Janaka's dynasty, they will be always remembered in this way. They'll always be remembered in this way. They will never be sannyasis. They will always be householders. But at the same time, that Atmavidya Visharadaha, they will be highly skilled specialists in spiritual knowledge. Atmavidya Visharada, that means they have reached such a higher state of knowledge of the soul, self, knowledge of the self, to the extent that Krishna has spoken about Janaka in the Bhagavad Gita even. Imagine that. Even in Bhagavad Gita, Janaka has come. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, he comes everywhere. And if you look into the 9 yogis, Kavi Hari, Andarikshan, Prabuddham, Pipalayanan, Ayurhotra, Drumala, Chamasa, Karabajra, the 9 sons of Rishabhadev, they discuss the science of Bhagavata Dharmam, isn't it? Who are they discussing with? Nimi. Who is Nimi? Nimi is the Janaka. He is also from the same family, isn't it? Where that, so that discussion between King Nimi and also these 9 yogis, Navayogis, that discussion is also between a family man, a grahastha, who is Nimi, and also the 9 children of 9th Shloka, 9th Shloka of Rishabhadev. So that is the most interesting thing here. Atma Vidya Visharada. Why? Yogeshwara Prasadena Dunder Muktam. Griheshwabi. Although they are in Griheshwabi, living as householders, always self-realized. So, why this is spoken is that it is not that self-realization can happen only in the sannyasi stage. This is also misunderstanding. There were many people who were self-realized in the brahmacharya state, particularly in the household life, and there were many in the sannyasa ashram also. So, ashram is not the criteria that decide your state of realization, self-realization. Self-realization can happen at any stage in life, provided that depends on that person's sincerity and also the effort he puts into it. So, here it says here, Kaubinatvebi durlabham. Ashtavakramashi says, if one who thinks that he is Kaubinam, Kaubinam means this brahmacharya's underwear, he says there, Kaubinatvebi durlabham. One who thinks even that is mine, because that is the cheapest thing in this world, he says, just a piece of small cloth. And even if one thinks that it is mine, he is not liberated, he says there. That's why akinchanasya, that's why that word akinchanasya is used. Ashtavakramashi, this story is in connection with that word akinchanasya. That means to such an extent we should have no attachment to anything in this world. Akinchanasya. Then even a brahmachari underwear kaubinam, one should not feel possession towards that, possessive mood towards that. And then dandasya. Dandasya means all the senses have been in Krishna's service, are completely under control for serving Krishna, and always in control. Shandasya, the mind is always in peaceful state, and therefore samachetasaha, that although there is peace inside, even if you have peace inside, if outside, if you don't have that equal vision in the people outside, if you don't have the equal vision outside, raga dvesha will build up inside the mind. Suppose there is shanti inside, peace inside, but because if you have no vision of equality outside, which means samatvam. Samatvam means presence of Krishna's presence seeing every living entity, considering every living entity as Krishna's manifestation. If you do not see that, but there is peace inside, what it says is there, shandasya samachedasaha, that if samachedastam, samatvam is not there, ragadvesham will come inside and the mind will move straight away. It will move. Sarve sukhamaya dishaha maya sandushtamanasaha, that because of the knowledge of the self, he has known his spiritual identity, what it is, and because he has known that, that even for a second, he will not be disturbed by the body. Disturbed by the body. And because he does not fall into the bodily concept or bodily identity at any time, there is a peace or shanti inside or completeness inside. And that completeness is not coming from sadhana. That is the important thing. That completeness inside, what one experiences from this realization of the soul, or an understanding what Krishna has mentions here, that akinjanasya, dandasya, shandasya, samachetasa. So, not even for a second, when one does not identify with the body, that shandi, what comes in, that completeness inside, is not by sadhana. Not by sadhana, but it has come from the realizations. It has come by realizations. You see, people are different nature in this world. Some people have this vijaram. Vijaram means a capacity to reflect very deeply on different subjects, isn't it? Scientists and all are in that category. But only thing, they reflect on the wrong thing. That's the only problem. If you reflect, if you have that thoughtful nature, very deeply analyzing things and to get deep into different subjects, that is a capacity Krishna has given, vijarashilatvam it's called. And for those people, for them the easier path is to follow this path of knowledge, where they can get deeper into the subjects and deeply absorb in the thoughts without getting pulled by the world's modes of material nature outside. So such personalities this realization can happen, samatvam, that they realize that Krishna's manifestation in all living entities. But for that they have to study Shastram. Obviously it is not possible otherwise. Through Shastram they come to that state, of course. And in that way they will cultivate that spiritual realization through process of thought. What we call it as Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Mananam is that they are capable of doing Mananam very well, in other words. They have that strength of doing, reflecting on this spiritual reality properly. By studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, all these books are there to support you and help you in that process. Some other people who don't have that capacity to do so, for whatever reasons it may be, for them the process of bhakti, which is means to vigaram, isn't it? Your mind absorbed emotions. For all your, in the sattugunam, all the nice vasanas that develops inside is turned towards Krishna. So, the difficulty is that, although through all these processes, that we will try to keep a balance in the material body and the material body and the mind, everything, some point in time, mind will show its nature. Mind will show its nature and start moving. So, the peace what a jnani will experience at that time is not by controlling the mind and the body. Just like in the yoga system, Ashtanga Yogam, it is by controlling the mind and the body you get to a certain state of peaceful life, isn't it? But the jnani, he reaches that state in a different way. He is constantly rejecting, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind. This is always very fixed up. So therefore, if he is very strong on that point, that I'm not this body and the mind, even due to prarabdham, even if it makes you run around in this world and gets disturbed, pushed by different directions, at no point in time he will forget his own identity or swarupam. Swarupam he will never forget at any point. So even if it is in a bad state or in a good state, he's always aware, I am not affected by that. Which is a very higher state of realization, isn't it? We try sometimes and to come to that state, but it lasts probably 5 seconds or 10 seconds and then back to the previous state again. But when through jnanam process is like that, you know, Upanishads and all, when one studies in depth, he will come to understand that I am a complete myself. There is nothing to come from outside. And he realizes himself that for a second he will never forget that. And his completeness is not by acquiring something from outside, rather it is coming from within. That completeness comes from within, not from outside. Our endeavor to complete ourselves has to come from, we are coming to make ourselves complete from outside. But this completeness comes from inside. So, and therefore, whatever happens in this world, that completeness is not disturbed at any point in time. So, by knowing one's own, knowing the self, what our own identity, spiritual identity, and that completeness is the completeness of a jnani. So, therefore, Krishna is saying there, Maya Sandushta Manasa. That Maya Sandushta Manasa is that. The word, what Krishna uses there, Maya Sandushta Manasa, Sarve Sukhamaya Disha. You have to think through this very deeply. Otherwise, you will just, if you simply take the literally meaning of those words and start thinking, Maya Sandushta Manasa, Sarve Sukhamaya Disha. When I see Krishna, at that point, everything, the whole world will be in all directions, I'll feel happiness. No, it's not like that. Maya Sandushta Manasa, Sarve Sukhamaya Disha. Krishna is saying there that the jnani, particularly this is referring to a jnani, that when he starts realizing that completeness inside without any external support from outside, the completeness inside is developing very strongly inside. As much as that completeness is developing, Maya Sandushta Manasa, he is satisfied and peaceful within himself, and therefore Sarve Sukhamaya Disha, in all directions he is happy. It's not the happiness coming from any external source. No happiness is coming from external source. Happiness is coming from within. That's when that happens. So Jnanamargam, when Krishna says there, Akinjanasya dandasya shandasya samachedasaha maya sandushtamanasaha sarve sukhamaya dishaha. See, everything is on a gradual way. First, Akinjanasya. Akinjanasya means no connection with anything in this world. So gone inward looking that there is no interest in the world whatsoever. That is the state. Akinjanasya. This word Akinjanasya you will find all through Srimad Bhagavatam in many, many places. It's a qualification for both a devotee and a jnani. Both. If you look into Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, you will see Nishkinjanasya Bhagavad Bhajanonmukhasya. Bhagavad Bhajanonmukhasya Nishkinjanasya. He says same time. That one who is attached to Krishna consciousness or Bhajanonmukham. Bhagavad Bhajanam or Krishna consciousness, at the same time Nishkinjanam, not possessing anything in this world. Nishkinjanasya Bhagavad Bhajano Unmukhasya Paramparo or Jigamishasagarasya Sandarshanam Vishayinam Atayoshidam Cha Ha Handa Handa Vishabachanado Pyasadhu. There is a verse in the, I think it's Chaitanya Charitamritam somewhere, where it says like this. That the akinchanatvam is the first thing. From there it leads, that will be the symptom of a person who is realizing the self. When one realizes the self, first thing is develops in him is this quality, akinchanatvam. Don't want to own anything in this world. All possessiveness, ownership in this world is completely gone. Now, here the question will come. Was King Janaka like that? He didn't possess anything? Yes, he never possessed anything. But Vyavaharam carried on his own. He had to do all this administration of the kingdom, everything. He was put into that. His prarabdham was there that he had to go through that. That's why. But Nishkinjanatvam is the first quality. Akinjanatvam is the quality first comes to a person who has realized the self. So Nishkinjanasya, Akinjanasya, Dandasya, Shandasya, Samachedasaha. Then Shandi is inside all the time. Akinjanatva means naturally there is shandi. All the anxiety what we have in this world is coming from what? It coming from because we are not akinchanas. That is why. Isn't it? The more the possessions in this world, the more is the anxiety. Isn't it? So that we know. It's very easy to understand that. So the least we possess in this world, the least is the anxiety in this world. Akinjanasya, dandasya. And shandi will be there in that person. All this ashandi inside is coming only from our own interaction with this world, our dealings with this world. So akinjanasya, dandasya, shandasya. And then what Krishna says, samachetasa, samachetasa. So samachetasa is important. That means that the self-realization has resulted in seeing Krishna's presence in all the other living entities. Seeing Krishna's presence in everywhere. Samachedasa. That is that samatvam. Because of that, shanti will not be disturbed inside. If there is no samachedasa outside, then the shanti won't last very long. The mind will again come up and disturb the person. Then Krishna says, maya sandushta manasa. Always absorbed in the thoughts of the soul. Completely fixed on the platform of the soul. Therefore, sarve sukhamaya disha. In all directions, for him, there is only happiness in all directions. That's a different kind of happiness because that happiness can never be, it is uninterrupted. It has to be uninterrupted happiness. Why? Our happiness, normally we have sometime happy and sometimes something happens in life, immediately the whole thing turns upside down. Isn't it? So that which shows that it's not proper happiness. Whereas this happiness, what is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in particularly in this verse, is coming from that completeness of the soul inside, not from any external source. Not that I have seen Krishna in the temple, I am happy today, and tomorrow I didn't go to temple, I am unhappy about that. That is not happiness. Maya sandushta manasa sarve sukhamaya disha. Wherever you throw, put that person, a realized soul like that, who is in that state, sarve sukhamaya disha. He is always satisfied and peaceful within himself. Happy within himself. That is the point that was mentioned there. In other words, not by acquiring sense objects or not by acquiring sense enjoyment, he has become complete or happy, rather by self-realization. So by sense enjoyment also, there is happiness in this world. Nobody is denying that. But for example, just like if I have a headache and I took some medicine and I got my headache cured, I'll feel a little happy, isn't it? I'll feel some happiness from that. But that happiness is different from this. So that is coming from not from Atma. That happiness is coming from the body, from the mind, not from the soul. So two things: the happiness that comes from the soul, happiness that comes from the body, they are on two different levels. Happiness that comes from the soul, it's uninterrupted. Happiness from the body is temporary. That's the important point mentioned there. So when we realize through the knowledge of the soul, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, that my nature, my identity is I am eternal, I am pure, and I am always conscious, and I am always liberated. This is my pure identification as the soul. Therefore, and when as soon as somebody realizes this all the time, he is satisfied within himself. Ashtavakrava is a great jnani. His body had 8 bends in 8 different places. It was bent. And for us, even there is a slight discrepancy or slight problem in our body, we feel uneasy about it, to show it to others, isn't it? Sometimes we can see that people have different like handicap situation or something like that. They feel a little unhappiness in that state, that others are seeing my body in that way. But Ashtavakra didn't have that problem. Although he had 8 places, the body was bent. So whenever he went to see King Janaka, many people looked at him, and Ashtavakra did not care, because he was situated in the highest platform of self-realization. For him, that body, due to some prarabdham, he had to accept that. So what happened was, when he came to Janaka's palace, that he says, Ashtavakra Maharshi says to him, that when I came to your palace, I thought in your palace that there will all be kshatriyas in the palace, he said. But I didn't see any kshatriyas here. King Janaka was curious to find out why Ashtavakra Maharshi said that. Ashtavakra says to him, all I find in your palace is full of butchers and cobblers, he said. You understand what he's saying? That all I'm seeing in your palace is nothing but butchers and cobblers. Butchers are those who will always look at the flesh, isn't it? When they kill the animal, they are not concerned about the animal. They are seeing how much flesh is there for them to sell. So that means their eye is always on the flesh. And the cobblers are those who look on to the shoemakers or whatever, or the tannery experts or whatever, the leather business people. They will always see the leather, isn't it? So the leather in the flesh means looking at the body. All your people in the assembly in Janaka's palace, he says to King Janaka, they are all like this. They are nothing but butchers and tannery experts or whatever that is. So they were all supposed to be highly brahmanas and who were highly educated, and many, many great personalities were present there. But Ashtavakra Maharshi, by mentioning this, actually made them realize that without self-realization, all their so-called knowledge and realization is all a waste of time. So, because Ashtavakra always see the soul in a person, so that is the power of knowledge. So whatever prarabdham brings to this body, even like diseases like leprosy, doesn't matter. Even such a person can escape from material life once for all and come to the spiritual platform. That is this Ashtavakra Maharshi story is teaching us. That a great personality like him, who had all these defects in his body, but he was in the realized state, and he gave this famous book, Ashtavakra Gita. In other words, spiritual knowledge is unconditional. Spiritual knowledge is unconditional. So whatever defects or shortcomings are there in this body, So, and any other issues or due to prarabdham that may come in this life, then one can still reject everything and realize the self. This is what the spiritual message. In spite of the fact that all other problems can happen in life, in our material life, or in our due to our prarabdham, in other words, family life, or in our material life here, doesn't matter what problem happens here, doesn't matter what state of existence we have to live in this world, in spite of all that, if one is following this process of jnanam, he can reach that state which cannot be disturbed by the bodily situation or by the material existence in this world. Material existence in this world. That is why Krishna is saying there, maya sandushta manasa. Otherwise that word has no meaning. Maya sandushta manasa means, that means in all circumstances. That's what it means. In all circumstances, doesn't matter what it is. Rich, poor, man, woman, sick or healthy, or whichever way you look at it, under all conditions, none of them has any effect on your self-realization. On your self-realization. In other words, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see there that statement coming from who? From Sudha Goswami, isn't it? Sudha Goswami said something there. Otherwise, spiritual life has no meaning. We are always connecting spiritual life with things outside. We're thinking that if I had this, I could have done better in spiritual life. But if you look into first canto, in the second chapter itself, he says there that the that there you will see the statement from Sudha Goswami saying to Shaunaka Rishi, he says there, Savaipam samparo dharmam yadho bhakti radho kshaje ahaitukiya pradihada yayalma samprasitadim. Then Savaipam samparo dharmam yadho bhakti radho kshaje. That if a person who is progressing on the path of spiritual life, that he cultivates bhakti, bhakti to Supreme Personality, Krishna, who is present within as the soul, knowing very well that it is Krishna who is present inside, and develop that relationship with the soul in that way. Ahaituki apratihata. It is ahaituki. There is no cause behind it, and there is nothing that can come on its way. Alpa samprasidadi. That is by that activity, the Supreme Personality is satisfied. And that is the greatest human obligations, he says here. Greatest human obligations, he says here. So, there, in that verse itself, he mentions that this importance of self-realization, to begin with, that means spiritual life is not dependent on anything else in this world. That is the one point Krishna is driving at that state. After saying that, he says that this incompleteness inside, what we feeling now, is the incompleteness of the mind. It's the incompleteness of the mind. Just like the cinema on the screen, and it is only a pratibhasam. Pratibhasam means this mind has come into existence somehow. We don't know how to deal with the mind. So therefore, as long as we are on the identification with the mind, means we will experience this problem throughout. Therefore, Shastram says to take the shelter of the soul, not the shelter of the mind, not the shelter of the mind. So, such a person who has taken shelter of the soul, sarve sukhamaya disha, sarve sukhamaya disha. So, for them, it is happiness everywhere. You can see that whether we follow the process of jnanam, whether we follow the process of bhakti, in all these are important things. These are important things. Simply studying a lot of verses or simply reading a lot of books is not the solution to the problem. Important point, what Krishna is stressing here is that in Ekadasha Skandam particularly, that each of those words are telling us that if we do not take that inside in our understanding of spiritual life, the spiritual progress will be very, very limited. So that's why it is spoken like that. Give an example that when the, I mentioned I think this before also, in Hrishikesh, when the sannyasis all together went on a strike against this cow killing cows. So the UP government, they locked them up in the, there was about 15 or 20 sannyasis. They protested and they put them in the prison. They put them in the prison for a few days and then they let them free, go out. After going out, these sannyasis gone and told everybody else in Hrishikesh, other sannyasis also who were not locked up, that it is much nicer inside the prison than outside. Because outside we are only getting roti, inside we are getting dal and roti, both are given inside. Why is it so interesting? Because next day, from nowhere, thousands of sannyasis came protesting. And they were all taken in. So they were answering to this. The answer to that is, these sannyasis have not particularly desire for anything in this world. Inside or outside doesn't matter to them. So that is what Krishna is saying. Akinchanasya dandasya. The minimum, the requirement is the happiness everywhere. Wherever they go. Sarvai sukhamaya disha. And so Atmarama state, what Krishna calls in the earlier in the Bhagavatam also, the Atmarama state, it is Shandi. And such a person, for him, everything is a pleasant experience in this world. While the wind is blowing, when the seasons are changing, and everywhere, all over the world, he only sees this Brahmanishta. Brahmanishta means this fixed in Brahman. And his mind doesn't move, always in Shandi. Sarve sukhamaya disha. In Sridhara Swami's commentary on that, Kimcha anyesham tatta shlokabhi parichinnam sukham bhaktasyadu pariburnamityaha aginjanatyedi. What he's saying here is that the kimcha anyesham tatta shlokabhi parichinnam sukham. One who has not acquired this happiness from inside, for him, anyesham tatta shlokabhi parichinnam sukham. Even if he has acquired some happiness from the world outside, that is parichinnam. Parichinnam means it is meant to break. It won't last very long. It won't last very long. Parichinnam sukham. Bhaktasyadu paripurnamityaha aginjanatyedi. Whereas one who is aginchana, his happiness is pariburnam, means it's always complete. At no stage it goes away from him. At no stage it leaves him. This is why it is so important that even in our spiritual life, it should not become simply a mechanical process. So I've chanted my 16 rounds and I followed my four regulative principles. I read Srimad Bhagavatam. It should not be left it like that or did some deity worship. They are all to make our way of thinking to change. How to change in our approach in this life. And that means these things, what Krishna is talking about, that kimcha anyesham tatta shlokhabi parichinnam sukham. That parichinna sukham, what we get from the world outside, is different paripurnamityaha aginjanatyedi. One who does not have any possessions, feeling still happiness from inside, they are a different thing. That's a category. That's what Sridhara Swami is saying here. Sridhara Swami's commentary in the Srimad Bhagavatam is like that, on that verse. To make us aware that normal people, we will look for happiness outside all the time, isn't it? Never we look for happiness from within. Because we have taken for granted there is no happiness inside. What is all misery inside? So all the time we look for happiness outside. But that happiness sometimes shudranandaha, it comes sometimes a little bit. Rest of the time shucharpidaha, lamentation about everything. But happiness from inside, at least theoretically we have to accept this, even if practically we haven't got it. Theoretically we have to accept it that this happiness from outside can never be compared to the happiness from the soul which is complete in itself. So anyesham parichinnam sukham. So in all other worlds, whatever limited happiness is there, that much happiness they can get. See, for example, in the earthly planet, there is certain limitations in happiness. That much happiness you can get. Heavenly planets, there is certain limitations there. That happiness you can get there. That is limited also. But in a devotee's case, Krishna says here, adeha dhanyaha bhagandamittam yadva sudevi agila lokanathi kurvandi sarvalmagam almabhavam nayatra voya parival ugraham. If you look in the first canto itself, it says in the third chapter, they'll see there this verse. It is from Sukadeva Goswami. Sudha Goswami talking to about different appearances or different incarnations of Krishna. Different incarnations of Krishna. It is then there, you will see there this verse. That adeha dhanya bhagavandamittam, verse 39, yadvasudeve khilalokanathe kurvandi sarvalmagam almabhavam nayatra bhuya parivartamugraha. He says here that the it is in relationship with the discussions between Sudha Goswami and also between the sages who are present in the Naimisharanyam. So he spoke about the different incarnations, and then he says to them that that a long list of incarnations, 24 incarnations were spoken there. If you remember, it lists there one after the other in that chapter. And then afterwards, 16, 17, 18, like that, 24 incarnations were spoken, and then talks about Krishna, says like this, that savaidam vishwamamokhalila sajatyavatyatina sajyadesmin budeshu chandarhidam alpadandram shadvargigam jigradi shadguneshaha. He says, Krishna, who takes for the benefit of this world different pastimes who performs, and who is also the Andaryami, who is inside everyone as the soul, he creates, destroys and maintains, but never gets attached to anything. And at the same time, others think that he is bound by the material modes of nature. And then continuing that, he says, adeha dhanya bhagavandamittam yadvasudeve khilalokanathe kurvandi sarvalmagamalma bhavam nayatra boya parivartamugraham. Then, one who accepts devotees, in other words, he's referring to these sages, he says to them, ultimately, to all those sages who are present in Naimisharanyam, to them, Sudha Goswami says to them that you have Vasudeva, your mind is absorbed in Krishna. Your mind is absorbed in Krishna, in the soul. So, and for such personalities, material existence doesn't happen. Material existence doesn't happen. So, that's why you can look at the verse very carefully. Kurvandi sarvalmagam almabhavam. That means presence of the soul, Krishna present as the soul inside. Na yatra bhuya parivartam ugraha. That this parivartam means this transformation from one body to another, cycle of birth and death, that thing does not happen to him, does not happen to that person. You see, when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, there is stories, a lot of stories in the Bhagavatam. Through that stories, Sukadeva Goswami brings to what is known as glorifications. It makes the story, if you carefully study Bhagavatam, you will notice this. Purpose of all the stories is to create a feeling of reverence inside, and there it will end up somewhere devotees glorifying Krishna. That is the glorifications, what happens at a later time. Isn't it? For example, I'll start from the beginning. Kunti Devi. Kunti Devi meets, Krishna comes to see Kunti Devi. And there is a long history spoken there from Mahabharatam. Isn't it? Mahabharatam, the story is spoken there. In Mahabharatam, when you read, what do you find? You find the story there a lot. Expanded story. But when it comes to same thing to Bhagavatam, story is condensed. Stories condensed, spoken in a few verses, the story is spoken. Then what happens? It brings the devotee and Krishna together. Kunti Devi and Krishna comes face to face. And then Sudeva Goswami talks about a long glorification of Krishna by Kunti Devi. Is it not? Long glorification. More than the story there you find is the glorification. That is the style of Bhagavatam. And then when Kunti Devi starts the glorification, it all starts very much from a basic level, but eventually it will end up like this, what? On the knowledge of the soul. This is the message that Bhagavatam is trying to get to us. But straight away, if we have spoken about the soul, nobody will take it. So therefore, this procedure, like this, this process is same thing with Bhishma. Next one is Bhishma's. Bhishma's case, what happened? Mahabharatam story goes back again. What happened in the Mahabharata war, how Ashwatthama created all the different scenes. And there you will see Uttaradevi's presence there. And Uttaradevi and Krishna comes face to face. Uttaradevi glorifies Krishna. And in that again, the science of the soul is put it in through that. So in every glorification, you will notice this one important thing, that they want to message what Sudeva Goswami wants to tell us is about the soul. And that's exactly here also, you can see. Sudeva Goswami goes to Naimisharanyam. The sages saw Sudeva Goswami, asked a few questions. Tell us Srimad Bhagavatam, he said. You heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Sudeva Goswami, please tell us Srimad Bhagavatam, they said to him. So he started speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. In the beginning, he talked about the process of bhakti and other things. And afterwards, very quietly, Sudeva Goswami moves on to talks about the 24 incarnations of Krishna. After saying all that, he started glorifying Krishna in a different way, in Sudeva Goswami's style of glorification. And then he says here, this verse comes there. Adeha dhanya bhagavandamittham yad vasudeve makhila lokanathe kurvandi sarvalpagam atmabhavam nayatra bhoya parivartamugraham. He says to them that you are already assembled here in this Naimisharanyam in order to discuss about Krishna. Now, that means to discuss about the soul. To discuss about the soul. Because you are people, he says there, yad vasudeve akhila lokanathe, that Alpa, who is present in everyone, Krishna, who is present in everyone, kurvandi sarvalpagam alpa bhavam, that everywhere you are people who see Krishna's presence in every living entity, Vasudeva, and you deal with the rest of the world in Alma Bhavam, in the full realization that Alma is present in everyone. That is what that line is saying. Kurvandi sarvalmagam Alma Bhavam. Alma Bhavam is important. Because it is like that, Nayatra Bhuya Parivarta Ugraha, that this, the repetition of cycle of birth and death is not going to happen to you anymore. And that is how that discussion ends there, between Sudeva Goswami and Shaunaka Rishi and all the other sages who are present. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, when you keep reading, you will notice this coming up all the time. This is the process Sudeva Goswami has followed, or otherwise Vedavyasa Maharshi has taken. And that is how he taught Srimad Bhagavatam to Sudeva Goswami. First, from the history, from Mahabharatam, they bring things together. And there will be a meeting of the devotee and Krishna at some point. And when they meet each other, the devotee will glorify Krishna. And at the end of glorification, it will end up in self-realization, talking about the soul. That is the step-by-step how the whole discussion happens in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So otherwise, if we simply give take everything is important. Yes, it is important. When we come to Srimad Bhagavatam, first you have to know all the everything. You have to know everything, read everything. But if you keep reading Srimad Bhagavatam and start thinking some part is very nice, for example, when Kapila Vasudev married Devahuti Devi, Devahuti was married to Kardama Prajapati. Kardama Prajapati created a palace for Devahuti Devi to have for their honeymoon, isn't it? They went in that palace, traveled all over the universe, that palace. And it's a long description about that. When you read all that, you get attracted to it. What a fantastic palace he has created. And if you start wondering, where is this palace now? or is it possible to find out where it is? If your mind goes in that direction, then it will not get to the right place. It will go with the palace in the same way. So what I'm saying is that Srimad Bhagavatam has a goal to tell us that purpose is self-realization. How to realize, get out of this body and come to the platform of the soul. To come to that platform, we have to go through all these things. All these. So keep, while reading Bhagavatam, if you keep this particular process, you will notice yourself without anyone telling you how Bhagavatam is structured in that way, in this particular pattern. That is just the way Bhagavatam is telling us things. So after this, you will notice the next verse is that Krishna takes you to Vritrasura story. Vritrasura spoke to in the same way, isn't it? In the sixth canto, if you remember. Nana parameshtyam, na mahendra dishnyam, na sarva bhaumam, na rasadhibatyam, na yoga siddhi, abunarbhavam, mayarpidalme chadimadvinanyal. Says there, na parameshtyam, na mahendra dishnyam, na sarva bhaumam, na rasadhibatyam. That is verse 14. Na yoga siddhi, abunarbhavam, mayarpidalme chadimadvinanyad. Now, all these verses are to tell us how a realized, self-realized soul or a devotee who has reached that state of the free from the body and completely realized the truth, how he interacts with, lives in this world. This is what this verse is all about. So here we are talking about Vritrasura's story is similar. Vritrasura's verses, if you look into Vritrasura's story, you will see the same verse appearing there. Now, who are all mentioned there? It says, na parameshtam. Parameshtam means Brahma's world, Brahma's planet. Brahma's planet. If you go to Brahma's planet, there he says there that the devotee has no desire to go there, to Brahma's planet either. Rasada na parameshtam na Mahendra Dishnyam. Mahendra Dishnyam means Indra's position. Indra's position. Similarly, there is another planet, Rasadalam, where also the material comforts are very, very higher. Even devotee has no desire to go there. Desire to go there. Mahendra Dishnyam, Sarva Bhaumam. Suppose he has been offered the position of the emperor of the whole world. He does not accept that. Na Yoga Siddhi. Even Yoga Siddhi, if it is offered, he will not accept that. There are, the next chapter, Krishna is going to talk about Yoga Siddhis. In the next chapter. But why Yoga Siddhi is so important? Yoga Siddhi makes a person to do things impossible, makes it possible, isn't it? So it's just like through Yoga Siddhi one can know the mind of another person, what's going through another person's mind. And Krishna categorizes them later. We'll discuss that when we get to that. So, knowing others' mind means basically you are collecting the garbage, isn't it? Already we have enough garbage our own, and then you are going to go and collect others. So that Yoga Siddhi, what is the use? Krishna is asking that question. Knowing others' mind, what does it help? But for a yogi, that is important. Knowing others' mind, what's going on through somebody else's mind, just know that. So people think that it's a big thing to know somebody else's mind, isn't it? So, then it will become, some people are busy with that, isn't it? Going on somebody else's mind, how it's working. Just like in the, every Thursday, that garbage collection comes every morning, collecting everyone's house, the garbage. In the same way, we keep collecting all the garbage from everyone else's mind, isn't it? All this news media and all that, that's what we're doing basically. Collecting all the garbage and keeping it inside. So if we know somebody else's mind, too much connected with others, somebody else's mind, I lose the balance of my own mind. That will be the final result at the end when all these things have happened. So yogis, what they do is they consider that as a siddhi. Siddhi means what they're saying there, that yogis believes that before they come to the platform of self-realization, before they come to the platform of self-realization, it's a kind of perversion in them. It's a kind of perversion in them. That is the state. Patanjali talks about this. Patanjali, who wrote Ashtanga Yoga, he says there, that samadhau ubasargaya sargaha yuddhade siddhayaha. In samadhi sthiti, after you have reached samadhi state, it is a blockage. It is a blockage. And it is that blockage that comes in the form of siddhi for yogis. For yogis it is like that. You see, when they have that yama niyama asanam pranayamam pratyaharam dharana dhyanam samadhi state, they reach the last, after the 8 processes. And before they come to the state of self-realization, there is this problem that there has something happened in the samadhi state. Samadhi is the last one. What happens at that point is that they are not getting the self-realization, and something is blocking them at that point, and that comes out in the form of siddhi. It comes out in the form of siddhi. They themselves do not know how siddhis come for them. You must have found this out sometime. People who have got a lot of siddhis, you ask them, how did you get this siddhi? They don't have an answer to that. It has come. It has come. During the process of their austerities and practice of sadhana, at some point in time, siddhi started appearing in a natural way inside. So, what will happen, the problem Krishna says here, is that how the siddhi works, the siddha also does not know himself how the siddhi is working. There are many personalities like that. They have this capacity for exhibiting different siddhis. But if you ask him, how did you reach this state of siddhi, they don't have any definite answer. Because without their knowledge, siddhis have developed within them. And they don't know how to control the siddhis afterwards. Then when they find that siddhis are giving them an edge over others, it becomes an addiction. It becomes an addiction also. So what happens with that? Krishna says the false ego will boost. The ego will boost. Already with the existing false ego, we are finding it difficult to live in this world. So all other siddhis, which will be spoken in the next chapter, flying in the sky, sitting here and listening to some conversation in America or somewhere else, Durashravanam, it's called Paragaya Pravesham, entering into someone else's body and controlling others' body within that body. These are all the siddhis what Krishna is going to talk about in the next chapter, divided into two different groups, primary siddhis and secondary ones. And some of them are, everyone would like to have them, a few of them at least, it's no harm in having it, you start thinking. Some of these siddhis, sitting here, you can know what's going on in America or what goes on somewhere else. So many interesting things, walking over the water and entering into some paragaya pravesham, dura shravanam, and some object far, far away from here, you can see while sitting here. What's happening to that object? Say you are parked your car somewhere in America somewhere, and you can sit here and keep watching your car, which you have parked elsewhere. So things like that. These are all siddhis. But siddhis are things which happens due to your effort in this world, it can happen at different stages. For example, all scientific discoveries are siddhis, if you really understand them. That we think that scientists have done that. No, scientists also didn't know before he discovered anything. He was going on searching, and in his serious effort in that process, at some point, Krishna has given him, seeing that intense desire inside, Krishna has rewarded him with some result, and that is a siddhi. All this mobile phone, television, and everything else, what comforts we call that modern age, what we have got today, which we consider, oh, we are so advanced as society. These are siddhis. They are siddhis that has been given to us. Everything is a siddhi. Then Ravana had a lot of siddhi. Ravana didn't have apparently ceiling fans or anything. When he wanted, he wanted cool air, has to think about Vayu, the controller of the predominant deity of the air. And air has to come, cool air has to come and blow around him. No wiring, no switch, no nothing. Everything happens in the same way. Similarly, for bathing, if he wanted a lake or a tank, automatically Varuna has to listen to him. Ravana was so powerful. Varuna had to listen to him and create a lake for him to bathe wherever he wanted. So Ravana had such fine siddhis with him that he could control all the material elements whenever he wanted. All five material elements, he could do the same thing with him. So, but now, the service you may see that like mobile phones, at one point in time you couldn't even think about such a thing happening, isn't it? 30, 40 years ago. Now everybody has a telephone, mobile phone. You'll find no one without a mobile phone. In India, the man who is climbing the coconut tree is also having a mobile phone. He goes to the top of the coconut tree and from there he's phoning downstairs on the man who is standing. He's got a mobile phone. So everybody has got a mobile phone. You could have never imagined this 30, 40 years ago, that such a situation would happen. So this is the interesting thing. Similarly, so many things happen in our life also, if you look at it this way, that now so much, many marriages are happening through internet, isn't it? So marriages, if you look at the amount of websites and amount of marriages that happens through internet, it's quite a lot. It's quite a lot, isn't it? So people are get to know each other through internet. They are getting married through internet. And then eventually they are divorcing also through internet. All this is happening, is it not? It's all happening. And so things have changed over a period of time. Things have changed over a period of time. Now, if you ask a young person who has done all these things, he won't find it extraordinary about it, unusual about it. But for an older person who got married in the older system, and who lived a life in this world, and every day he has to take all these shocks, day after day, what's coming, for him it's a shock. But for the new young man who done all these things through internet and gone through once or twice the same process, he just takes it casual for him. He's not disturbed over it. What I'm saying this is that although these siddhis are coming, the point what I'm trying to make is, although all these siddhis are happening to us in our technology, the human nature is day by day getting degraded. Why? The mind, more disturbed mind and more distress in life is those person who have become more technology oriented and who lives a life of this modern, fast and technology life. Why? Because he has lost all connections with nature in every way. Not only that, he has lost connection with the world through mountains, rivers, lakes and all the material elements, everything. That he has already broken away from that. But even the few different samskaram what one has in life through the process of marriage or anything, even that's going away. And the result is that you can see in many of those people who live this kind of life, they eventually end up in serious trouble in their mind. So advancement means, and that means in the past, in the villages, there was one teacher who taught the children the shastram. They taught the children the shastram. They all lived simple and they taught the children the shastram. But now what has happened is that as much as the advancement has happened and every child in the family has become very independent and has got all the possessions of this world, when you observe him or her, at a particular stage in life, is completely lost. And what is required is more and more psychiatrists. Not the teachers anymore. What we require is more psychiatrists. So psychiatrists have become a necessity now in the society. 40, 50 years ago, at least in Indian society, there was no such thing as psychiatrist. 50 years ago, it's an unknown thing it was. There was no... You may say that, oh, those days they didn't know about psychiatry. That's not the fact. The psychiatry problems we have created with the society now. Changing society means more psychiatric problems and more psychiatrists required than any time before. It has become one of the top professions now, this psychiatrist job. It's become a top profession. More required, more people needed, because everybody wants counseling, everybody wants advice, everybody wants all the time attention. There is no happiness inside. Always empty. Inside is empty. This situation has come. So that is why Krishna is warning there, all kinds of siddhis are not the goal. Shanti is the goal, because that is what will lead into self-realization. So there was some story once that in America, there was a child and he went to another house to visit his friend or something. They were small children. So the parents took this, their child, to visit one another family, and the child who went with them, when he got there, he saw a small motorbike there, which belonged to the other child. So this child who was visiting, he went and sat on that motorbike. So parents told him to get down, wanted to go home, and told him to get down from there. He won't get down from the motorbike. They tried very hard telling him to get down from the motorbike. He won't get down. It's a small motorbike, children's motorbike, you can say, toy-like thing. And if the parents get heavy with the child will contact the police. That is the legal implications of that. And they were not supposed to scold the child or get heavy with the child. So what did they do? They called a psychiatrist to come to change the mind of the child. This was in the newspaper, to change the mind of the child. So the psychiatrist came. When he came, straight away he spoke to the parents about the fee, what they have to pay for this service. So the parents agreed and handed over the check to the psychiatrist. The child is observing all these things sitting on the motorbike. And then the psychiatrist who had come, he had an assistant with him. This all happens in this world. Don't think that this is some fabricated story. I'll tell you some more interesting stories than this. Then the psychiatrist goes to the child, and the child started listening to the psychiatrist. Psychiatrist told him, "You know I am here." That's all he said to the child. "You know I am here." The child understood that my job is to get you out of this bike. If you don't get down from the bike, I'll deal with you properly. That's all he said. As soon as he said that, child got out from the bike and came away. So the parents who were standing a little away, they did not understand what is the special mantra he has used to get the child out from there. So when the bill was paid and they were about to leave, he said to the psychiatrist assistant, "What did you tell the child? He was not listening to us. What made him to listen to you?" So the assistant told the parents, "We didn't do anything else. We just told him bluntly that if he doesn't get out, he will have to face the consequences. That's all. We are living in a world where, because of the law, we can't even tell anything to the children anymore. If you tell the child will ring 999 or somewhere, some number like that, and the parents will be, and the police or somebody will be there. And then there will be all negotiations and discussions will start. You are not supposed to touch the child. You are not supposed to say anything to the child. And you are supposed to manage the child. And the child has got all these problems with him. So what are you supposed to do?" So this is the complexity of all these things, what comes from that. Harikesh, who has left ISKCON now, he once said to Prabhupada one interesting story. He says to him that in America, I don't know what the legal situation today is, that if you have to go to toilet, if you go to a house and you request that I have to go to the toilet, you should be let in. There's some law like that. So somewhere somebody walked in and he showed the gun straight away to him. And that became a court case later. So situations like this, because of the speed and the pace of the society we live and the kind of laws what we create to control ourselves in this world, but on the other hand, we are all going crazy in one way or the other with all these things what is happening. So the interesting thing here is that the na yoga siddhi, so that's what I was coming to. This devotee who is saying here is, na parameshtyam na mahendra dishnim na sarvabhaumam na rasadhipatyam na yoga siddhi. These are all siddhis which is coming from the practice of yoga system. So many different kinds of siddhis will come, but siddhi on their own is not the answer to the problem. Apunarbhavam. So why it is like that is, siddhi comes from using the mind. The more you engage the mind in focused on anything, you will get a siddhi, some siddhi from that. How much you can concentrate, intensely concentrate on something, you will acquire siddhi, you will receive some siddhi from that, and you will become, the more you use your mind, you will become a slave of your own mind. You will become a slave of your own mind. On the other hand, a devotee always hands over the mind to Krishna. A jnani surrenders the mind to Krishna. A devotee hands over the mind to Krishna. See, all the success of all the great jnanis, yogis and all that is not coming from anywhere else. It is all because they have used their mind in a particular way, very seriously. That is the result of that they have made that success. That's all. But in spiritual life, neither as a jnani or as a devotee, the more you move away from the mind, your spiritual life becomes a success. The spiritual life becomes a success. That is why this verse is spoken. Na yoga siddhir abhinarbhavam va. Yoga siddhis you may get from using the mind, but it will not help in your spiritual life. Not help in your spiritual life. So we'll have a few minutes kirtan and then we can stop it today. We have time up to 5:30, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes,
I'm
yes,
sorry,
yes.
I forgot that. Okay, so we'll continue for a few minutes here. Yeah. I was thinking 5 o'clock. So, yoga siddhi, na yoga siddhi rabunarbhavam va. Yoga siddhi is that what Krishna is saying here, the child understood that the person who has come is very professional. And this professionalism was like this, that he directly threatened the child that if you don't get down from the motorbike, I'm going to beat you. When he gave the message, he came out from the motorbike without any further arguments from there. So, success or achievements, actions in this world are obtained by using the mind, and spiritual attainment is by surrendering the mind. That is the important thing. All achievements in this world is by using the mind. Spiritual advancement or self-realization is by surrendering the mind. Is by surrendering the mind. It is all spoken only for one reason, that if we do not get grips with our mind, it is going to have a lot of problems in life, isn't it? At all stages. Somehow or the other, we have given too much importance to this mind and intelligence. Mind and intelligence. And that is why he says here that for when a devotee asked once this question, that how can I get out of the cycle of birth and death? How can I get out from the cycle of birth and death? So this Mahatma to whom he asked this question, replied back in this way. He said, are you born now? That was his question. We take it that I'm already born, I'm already suffering, all these things. So normally, what will we answer? He'll say, oh, if you become a devotee, you won't take birth again and you will get liberated. Or if you realize the self, you won't take birth again. But this Mahatma asked a question back, are you born now? Who tells you that you are born? Therefore, who is born? If you say you are born now, who is born? That was the question. And if you say you are born, I am born. And who is that I you are referring to? So, in all these different topics in Bhagavatam, ultimately, this way or this way is to reach the goal of the soul, to get to the point of the soul. So to take us to that point, these discussions are important. To understand that, soul is important. How to realize the self, that is the important purpose. So when you keep on inquiring it like that, who am I, is inquiring about who has taken birth. At that time you realize that what is born is that the body which is born, or is that the mind which is born, or is it the intelligence that's born? Now the question comes. If you think the body is born, if it is the body that is born, Scientists and Shastram both agree that every 7 years the body is changing. Isn't it? All the cells in the body are changing in 7 years' time. A completely new body you have after every 7 years. After every 7 years you have a new body. So from there, and this body by the time 60 or 70 years old, you have already changed the body about 7 or 8 times. Already the body has changed 7 or 8 times. The body which you were born with does not exist anymore now, isn't it? The body which you were born with, doesn't exist anymore. That's dead and gone long ago. So that is where Buddhist comes to this point, what they call it as Kshaniya Vijnanavadam. Kshaniya Vijnanavadam means nobody can talk about the birth of the body. That is their position on that. And that is also sense, also to some extent sense. We keep saying, I was born on that particular day. What was born? Body was born, we say. The body was born. But the body has changed after 7 years. After 7 years, the body has changed. So this body what is born, and so many times I am born since then. See, in the matter of 60 years old, when you are 60 or 70 years old, you are born, you are dead and took birth again. If you are the body, at least you are born 7 or 8 times by now. By the age of 70, you should at least gone through 8 or 9 times. You must have changed the body, you must have taken birth again. You must have... So, the body that has been born, that it is not a reality. It is not. That is why jnanis won't accept the body as a reality for this reason. They are saying the body has changed, so who are you referring to as I? You keep on saying I am. Who is this I am you are talking about? That's why I'm saying that. So if you ask this question to an astrologer, he is also stuck. He is telling you that you were born on a particular day in 50 years or 60 years ago. Is it not? Astrologer, when he gives you your chart, he is calculating the date of birth, you give it to him. On the place, based on the date of birth, he is calculating various things for you. And he gives you a chart to you. And on the basis of that chart, you are taking happiness or distress, whatever that comes from that basis. But what was born 50 years ago, was this body? Was it the body that was born? The chart is made based on the body, but that body has changed. This is the reason why we say, accept the science of the soul. Even in the Vedic literature, including the astrology, is not 100% correct. It's not 100% correct. It is half truth and half lie. Astrology also. Astrologers won't agree for that, because then their business will be finished. But the reality is like this, that the body is changing. And when you keep on changing the body, and they are calculating your future, based on that body which was born, it was the body that was born, they use in their calculations, isn't it? That body does not exist after 7 years. Another body comes in, and so 7, 8 times you change your body in that time. So if you take that the body, you see, do you give a time of birth to them, isn't it? Date of birth you give, and they will also ask you for a time of birth to make it more precise. The astrologers, they'll ask you. So what is that basis on which they are starting with? Based on the body, isn't it? Based on the body. That is what they consider as the time of birth, appearance of the body. That is they consider as the time of birth. But that body is not existing anymore, so all their calculations are also wrong. This is the reason behind it. See, but just like anything else, if an astrologer says something, some of them will come true. And so you start taking that, it's not too bad after all, some things are true, some things are not. So, but if you look from the point of view of Shastram, you can see there that some things, or all these calculations are based on the birth of the body. On the birth of the body. And we are not that body, body is changing. And if body is the criteria, or the appearance of the body in this world is the time of birth, then your calculations are all wrong, because you are not this body. Body has gone away. So Kshaniya Vijnanam, Buddhists call it as Kshaniya Vijnanam. Kshaniya Vijnanam means very momentary knowledge, momentary existence. Body is existing momentarily for a short period of time. Maximum they say 7 years, but in a short time, the whole body is changing, completely changed. The body has changed. That is why Brahma Vidya, or the knowledge of the soul alone, is the perfect knowledge in this world and perfect subject to be studied about. All other things what we study, whether it's science, physics, chemistry, or any other topic for that matter, eventually you will find that your knowledge is incomplete and imperfect. Incomplete and imperfect. I'll give you an example. At one time, everybody believed in this world. Everyone believed in this world, the world is flat. World is flat. Then an Italian scientist, I think, came forward and said the earth is not flat, earth is round, like a globe, isn't it? Was it Galileo? Galileo, I think, yeah. Somebody like that. So when he said that, nobody will believe him. Nobody will believe him. And eventually they killed him, I think, for saying, propagating this theory, that earth is flat. After some time, the scientists have come and telling us that it is round, it is globe. The earth is round, they are saying that. And you will not be surprised at all, after say, don't know how many years, 100 years, 200 years, they may say the earth will start becoming flat again. They can come back with that theory. Why I'm saying this is, all the knowledge in relationship with Maya is like that. You can't take it as knowledge at any time. That is why anybody argues about any of these things, there is no point in arguing about it, because none of them is absolute. None of the knowledge is absolute. Except the science of the soul, everything else in relationship with this world is false. Is false. It is under the jurisdiction of Maya. Maya will put us into surprise all the time. Today, science will find out something. Tomorrow, the very science will reject all that and bring some new theory behind it. Now, Charles Darwin came and said about this, what do they call it, the evolutionary theory, isn't it? Now, everybody is busy in killing Darwin. Some or the other, we have to bury him. And so much arguments against him. And we think that we have got the right answer. Isn't it? Or somebody, some of us are feeling that we know the truth. Darwin didn't know the truth. Another generation, a few generations past us, you will see they'll come and prove that we are all wrong. That is how the Maya works in this world. This is the beauty of Maya. Maya's capacity is to make us believe every minute, at every time, what she thinks she wants us to believe, we have to believe it. There is no other choice. In any of these things, there is no choice in it. That we keep on saying, oh, we have now found out the truth, we give Nobel Prize, we give this prize, that prize and everything. But from spiritual point of view, that all these so-called discoveries, inventions and everything, and we make so much, yes, from the existence of the body, temporally you can call it as the truth. But in relationship with the absolute platform, only the soul is the truth, everything else is false. This is the important message there. So you can see the difficulty when you take to other processes of knowledge where all the problems are coming. When you are talking to it from the, take for example, the mind, intelligence, if you start thinking the body as the soul, then body as the soul, is it on that level that they are calculating, the astrologers? No. Is it based on the mind? No. Is it based on intelligence? No. Because all this mind, body, intelligence, everything is asat, an atma, not atma. Isn't it? So, mind, body, intelligence, they all transforming all the time. Transformation is taking place inside. So, none of them has taken birth actually. They are continuously changing. So, which has taken birth? Taking birth means that our understanding of taking birth is also very interesting. We think that we have seen with our eyes a body appearing. Isn't it? So, we consider that as birth. Through my eyes, I have seen a body appearing, or the doctor says, or the nurse says, the body has come out. So I say, oh, he has taken birth. Is it not? But that birth of the child has happened long, long ago. Before, inside the womb also, when the subtle body has started functioning long ago, the birth of the child has already started. So when do you say that your birth has started? When did the birth happen, actually? And all these things has question mark on the astrology. Astrology is questioned by all these things. So, everything is taking birth all the time and everything is dying also all the time. The body is also dying all the time. Only when do we say the body is dead? One day when this body cannot function anymore and it becomes totally useless to do any activity, at that point we say the body is finished. The body is finished. But the body is already getting in that direction, going in that way. Only at the last minute when it totally stops, we call it is death. Isn't it? Otherwise it's practically, if I can't do anything, I'm lying like a vegetable on a hospital bed. Could he not say that I am dead already? Because what is my existence? My existence is only this, there is all the tubes and pipes are connected in my body and somehow they keep my breathing going on. Can you say that I am living because of that, because I am just breathing something? So there the question comes, this thing called the birth, death and everything is purely based on the body and therefore it's not acceptable, nothing to do with the soul. Nothing to do with the soul, and that is also continuously transforming. The body is changing at the time of birth. The next moment it is changed. The body which you are born is not the body the next moment. It has changed. Similarly, the body which is dying has changed so many times. It's not the same body which you are dying or not the same body which you are born with. But we say we are dead. Who is dead? Is the body dead or I am the soul is dead? Who is dead? That question will come. So we have to look at this way, that Shastram is pointing out to us, all your so-called peripheral knowledge, which has come in the form of astrology and so many medical science and everything, from the platform of the soul, they are all false. They are all false. That is the important point. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see the same thing. That when they are all together, it's Shastram, it's called Sanghatam. Sanghatam means when they all get together, which all? The gross body, material elements, and then the mind, the intelligence, the ego, and the soul. When they all get together, then you have to ask the question, where is the soul? Isn't it? You have to ask that question. Because without that soul, all other things cannot function together. You'll ask that question. So when you deeply look into it, you will realize is that what exists in all these things is only one thing, uninterrupted, unbroken completeness that is inside, which is the soul. That is why in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, if you look, Krishna will say there, na jayate mriyate va kadajil nayam bhutva bhavito vanabhuya ajaha nityaha shashodaha puranaha na hanyade hanyamane sharire na jayade mriyade va kadajil nayam bhutva bhavido vanabhuya ajom nityam shashvadoyam puranaha na hanyade hanyamane sharire. Krishna saying to Arjuna, all the other things except the soul, na jayate, soul alone does not take birth, everything else is jayate, it has to take birth. Na mriyate, mind has to die, body has to die, intelligence has to die, and false ego has to die. But soul doesn't die. In order to separate the soul from the remaining, Krishna is stressing this point to Arjuna. Na jayade mriyate va kadajal nayam bhutva bhavito vanabhuya. That because of it is that there was never a time he did not exist. And there will never be a time which he will not exist. There was never a time he did not exist, there will never be a time he will not exist. Ajaha, nityaha, shashvadaha, puranaha. That he is eternal, he is the only truth in this whole creation. Nityaha is always existing, ajaha. And he has no birth, he has no thing called birth for him. Shashvadaha, he is eternal. You can never say that he is not going to exist any time. Puranaha, that means he is the oldest of all. The soul is the oldest of all the things. Puranaha na hanyade hanyamane sharire. Even if you destroy his body, a person's body, he is not touched. He is not touched by that. That verse in the second chapter is so important. Because all these things Krishna is talking to Arjuna and Uddhava, purely from the platform of the soul. Otherwise, if we simply remain in the bodily concept of life and start thinking, how do I understand this? How do I understand this? How do you will never understand. You will only understand this when you understand Bhagavad Gita properly. When you understand Bhagavad Gita properly. Krishna's point is, all these things are false. Body is false, mind is false. He's not just making a statement like that. He's giving us the logic behind it. Isn't it? Krishna's logic is, as far as body is concerned, when was it born? Krishna is asking the question. When do you say the body is born? When you started seeing with your eyes, naked eye, you are saying it's born. Isn't it? That's when you give the birth certificate. Oh, he's born now. We got a certificate. Now I got a certificate. I'm born. Everybody, I can show to everyone. I'm born now. So similarly, when I die, the doctor has to give you the certificate to sort out all your bank accounts or whatever that's left in this world. So you have to go and tell the bank he's dead. He's dead. Stop his pension or stop his whatever he has to get from the government. So these kind of things, when you look at it from the spiritual side, it's all a joke. It's all a ignorance. This is called avidya. This is called avidya. We give so much importance to all these things because the system is so perfect. Government after government changes, discusses it, how to modify it, whether we should give £140 pension or £155 pension. All kinds of things they discuss about it. But the important thing is that Krishna is saying here, na jayate, you are not a person who was born. Na mriyate, you are not a person who die. You see, Bhagavad Gita's strength is there in telling us. And this is the point which brought Parikshit Maharaj ultimately what Sukadeva Goswami brought him to. Nayam bhutva bhavido vanabhuya ajo nityam shashadoyam puranaha nahanyade hanyamane sharire. That even if the body is dead and gone, what does it matter? He says, it doesn't, nothing affects him. Nothing affects him, the person inside, the soul. After saying that, Krishna says here, that nobody takes birth here. Nobody takes birth here. And at the same time, nobody is dying here. This is the perfection of spiritual life. When you come to that state of realization, you will realize. That is why, that is the reason Krishna says there. What did he say? He says, Tatha dehandara praptir dhiras tatrana mukhyati. Who is a dhira? Who is self-realized? He is dhira. Who has understood this? He will not be disturbed by the change of body. He will not be disturbed by the change of body. Why? Because he understood that this so-called birth, death, what we call in this world, is all false. It's all false. It's all completely based on the, through the eyes I am seeing somebody is breathing, somebody has got a gross body, or somebody is losing his gross body. Through my eyes I am seeing and validating it as birth and death. But in reality, all this mind, body, intelligence and all that, they don't have any permanent existence here. They are a continuous thing, what is constantly changing. Like the seasons are changing, the body is changing. Seasons are changing, body is changing. You buy a new car, after 10 years time, the car has changed a lot in all its capacity, in many ways. It has changed, gone through a lot of wear and tear and everything. So similarly, I, the person inside, has not changed. What has changed actually is my body. What has changed actually is my body that has gone through all these things and I identify with the body. And Krishna, after saying this, what did he say next thing to Arjuna? Jadasya hidruvo mrityur dhruvam janma mridasya ja tasmad abariharyate natvam shojito marhasi. Krishna says to Arjuna, one who is born, he has to die. The very next few verses he says to Arjuna, Arjuna, it is like this. Even if you don't understand whatever I have spoken so far, just leave it behind, he said. Arjuna's situation was like that. Arjuna could not understand what is Krishna. It takes a while to sink in this understanding of the soul. It takes a lot of thinking. Jnanis are those people who have spent in energy, a lot of energy in that direction, reflected on it in a very deep level and understood that the world is teaching me is all false. All false. That's that ignorance we send children to go to school, college, years and years to get their degrees and PhDs and whatever it is and come back with this ignorance at the end. what they have got, isn't it? So that's an important point. So Krishna is saying to Arjuna at that stage, when he understood that Arjuna hasn't gone in to Arjuna's inside yet, Arjuna hasn't understood yet. So at that point, Krishna says to him, Jadasehi Dhruva Mrityu, Dhruvam Janma Mrdasya, Tasmad Abirihariyarte Natvam Shochitum Arhasi. That another way to make Arjuna to understand the reality, says to him, one who is born, because he see Arjuna, Krishna is seeing Arjuna, they are still in the platform of the body. So therefore, one who has taken birth, he has to die. And one who is dead, he has to take birth again. So even from that point of view, why do you hesitate to fight? If you die, you will take birth again. And if you take birth again, you will die again. If that is the reality, why should you not fight? Arjuna, Krishna asked that question. But otherwise, if you accept the first part of Krishna's instructions there, you can immediately see that the knowledge is that what Krishna has spoken in the beginning, Sankhyam. The Sankhyam part of it, Kapila Vasudeva's Sankhyam, what Krishna has taken into Bhagavad Gita there. And he's talking from that. So this is the way that Krishna talks about that. And we'll discuss that in the next Sunday.